Welcome to the Rent to Retirement Podcast, your resource for passive real estate investing and retirement strategies. If you're new to real estate or planning your financial future, you're in the right place. Join us at renttoretirement.com to find your path to financial freedom and an easy, carefree retirement. Enjoy the show.
Hey, Renter Retires, it's Adam Schrader here along with Zach LeMaster, and we have a returning guest and a not returning guest, but friend of a returning guest, and that is Brandon Hall and Thomas Castelli. And we are here because, well, they have the CPA firm, if you remember from our earlier episode, and if you don't, then go back and listen to it. But when we were talking, we mentioned that they're doing a lot of education, and we decided we should put together a tax course and bring it to our listeners so you can be educated and know what you're doing as you're going through your real estate journey. And we thought, you know what? You're probably going to want to know what all's in it and get educated. So we're here today to talk with them about what on earth they can teach you as a real estate investor. So welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
Yeah. And Thomas is, I think, a friend, but also a partner, right? In your guys' CPA firm. So, yep. But I guess we can be friendly, right, Adam? I don't know.
Yeah, but, well, I'm hoping they're friends if they're working together. I'm hoping they're friends.
So. Tom smells bad, so it's just of course.
Yeah, that's why I'm all the way over here in New York, friends.
And yeah, that's why we do virtual. Actually,
you guys cover the whole country, but no, we appreciate you joining in. We've done a lot of, like, you know, initial interviews and education about, you know, this is taxes specifically. Like, that's one of the best benefits of investing in real estate in general is the tax benefits. If you listen to me talk at all. That's the thing that really gets me jazzed up, because quite frankly, that is the most strategic thing, to give yourself an immediate raise. And real estate offers so many tax benefits that most people aren't even aware of or doing appropriately. So it's extremely fundamentally important that we know the tax structure, that we're working with the right people to set us up, because tax, it's a planning scenario, right? I mean, it's a lot of people look at it as a defensive side, like, oh, dreading, you know, April every year, I got to go back and file taxes and then turn this mess over to CPA and hope they're doing it right. And no one really knows, like, has a concrete plan. But if you plan appropriately and participate on the offensive side, which is the planning and the education piece, working with the right professionals to help you set up that plan to execute not only this year, but future years, or potentially even looking back at previous years. I mean, it's just so fundamentally essential, because it allows you to be the best investor, to have more money to invest, to buy more assets that have more tax benefits, get this compounding effect. And that's what allows us to scale our portfolio and take our investing to the next level. So we've had a lot of really good feedback when we had Brandon on the show. And essentially our community asked, hey, this is great that you're doing these interviews and this is good information, but can you give us something more concrete? can we have, like, some actual training on this versus listening to a podcast where I'm excited about taxes, but, like, what's next? You know, they need some participation and education into actually going through the planning structure. And so here we are. Thomas and Brandon have been so gracious to actually put together a course specifically for our clients. There's a lot of different ways you can participate in real estate investing. So, I mean, knowing the type of investing our clients do, that can be across different parts of the country, and how, you know, our strategy working with Rent to Retirement to scale portfolios, it's very important that we have people that know this business, that know this specific area of the business, and can work with our clients. So, Brandon and Thomas, again, thank you for being a part of the show. Let's talk a little bit about exactly what this course is that you're putting together for the Rent to Retirement community.
Right.
I want to just talk about the why behind it. And actually, Tom, you might actually correct me, so I might say the wrong thing. But the why behind the course, you know, originally when I started creating these boot camps and these courses, was we have a lot of people that hit us up on an ongoing basis to become a client of the firm. And we just can't take on everybody, or our prices are too high. But my problem is that I want to help all landlords. And I know that there's, you know, you might go to a, like, kind of local CPA or large CPA or whatever, that's maybe just not in the real estate game every day. So my whole goal with creating these courses was to enable people who take them to just have better conversations with their CPA. It's not like, take the course and come work with Brandon and Tom over at our CPA firm. It's take the course, learn the fundamentals so that you can ask your CPA better questions. so that you can just have a little bit more peace of mind, make sure that you are more optimized than where you would have been otherwise.
Love that.
Yeah. So you're telling me in our last interview, 45 minutes, didn't cover everything that there was to know about taxes?
Well, yeah, Tom's a faster talker than I am, so maybe that was a
the third time someone said this to me today.
Go ahead, Tom. Go ahead.
Yeah, so the tax code's diverse, real estate's complex. Everybody, you can go online, you can listen to a few interviews. You're not going to learn everything you need to learn in a 45 minute conversation, or frankly, probably even a 90 minute presentation. There's just way too much. So the course is Tax Strategy Foundation for Real Estate Investors. And what it does is it breaks down the fundamental tax strategies from the basics to the more complex strategies that real estate investors need to know in order to really minimize their taxes and make sure that they're taking the full advantage of the tax code they can, so they can basically reduce their taxes, the entire point. So we cover, again, the basics, tax deductions, things of that nature. But we really get into some of the hard-hitting stuff, the stuff that's really going to be impactful for real estate investors. One of them is the real estate professional status. That's week one. And what the real estate professional status allows you to do, it allows you to take losses from your rental properties. So as I'm sure Brandon had mentioned on his episode, there's an expense called depreciation. It's a non-cash expense. And what it does is it basically reduces your taxable income despite the fact that you might actually generate positive cash flow. So let me give you a quick example. Let's just say you had $100,000 in rental income. It could be $10,000, whatever. You could take zeros, add them up, whatever. $100,000 in rental income. Then let's say you had $60,000 in hard expenses. And what I mean by hard expenses, I'm talking about property taxes, maintenance, repairs. These are expenses that you're actually leaving your bank account and you're paying someone else, right? So that would leave you with about $40,000 of cash flow. And in most other operating businesses, well, guess what? You have taxable income of about $40,000. But thanks to this non-cash expense called depreciation, it can actually cause a loss. So let's just say that you had $50,000 in depreciation, which is quite low, honestly. You'll probably have more. But let's just say you have $50,000. Well, now you're sitting at a loss for tax purposes of $10,000. So this does a few things for you. The first thing that it does is it makes sure you're not paying taxes on your rental income, right? That's why real estate's one of the biggest, like the most tax advantage asset, is because it allows you to shelter your cash flow from tax. Now, the question becomes, well, what happens to this $10,000 loss? Remember, this is a non-cash loss. It's just on paper. Well, the real estate professional status allows you to take this $10,000 or whatever that loss is for you and apply it to your non-passive income, which is for most people going to be their business or their W-2 income from their job. And it allows you to offset the tax, offset your income and reduce your tax. So for example, if you made, I'm just pulling out a number out of a hat, let's just say you made $100,000, right? Well, now you're only paying tax on $90,000. And there's ways to boost this non-cash depreciation expense. And we cover that in the course too, to really accelerate using bonus depreciation so that you can really offset your taxes by up to 5 to 6 figures in many cases using the real estate professional status.
I mean, that's huge. This is something we personally do. And especially with that accelerated depreciation with cost segregation studies, just to be clear, depreciation is something everyone gets. You can be additionally strategic with this and accelerate some of this within a real estate professional status. You need to technically meet all the criteria. So you cover that, and also how to achieve that, right? Because that's really Absolutely. The question of a lot of people are aware of what real estate professional status is and the requirements by the IRS. But really the question is, how do I put in the procedural steps to be able to qualify for that? And you need to understand that. And that's important to cover in the module. And there's some instances where you can take, accelerated depreciation without that. But just learning about things is so fundamentally important. But this is probably, this is a huge thing that if you're an active investor, you should be having these conversations and researching this to take advantage of this. Before we move on, Thomas, just to give everyone a quick overview, this is a 5-week course, right? Where there's multiple educational areas, there's modules built, lots of educational content. You'll have homework, which you need to do. Not significant amounts, but this is all part of growing your education to ultimately have those conversations, as Brandon mentioned, and save the ultimate amount on taxes and just be a more savvy investor. This is stuff that will pay you tenfold, 100-fold in the future by continually applying these things and something that is essential that you need to learn about. But it's a 5-week course. You guys have 5 separate modules. You have live Q&A. You're part of the, you know, our community coming over, so you can collaborate with and share ideas with the community as well. And that's the best type of learning, I think, is where you have education, you have an expert, you know, teaching this and also showcasing it and answering questions, but also collaborating with a community of people that are also going through the same things and sharing experiences. The 5 modules, though, the first one, which we just covered, is real estate professional status. Second module is, and second week is like the short-term rental benefits and loopholes. I hate using loopholes because it's allowed in the tax code. But second week is short-term rentals, which I know a lot of people are interested in. And those are ways that you can take additional depreciation without being a real estate professional. Third week is optimizing your tax position overall. Fourth is audit defense and how to set yourself up appropriately. And then the fifth week, you have all sorts of like additional benefits with how to pay children, cost segregation, entity structuring for tax optimization and things like that. So I just want to give everyone a quick overview. Thomas or Brandon, anything else to cover in the real estate professional status that people should be aware of, you know, kind of coming into this?
Yeah, absolutely. So the one thing I want to cover on the real estate professional status real quick is, you know, there's a lot of information and misinformation about this on online forums and stuff like that, free communities like Bigger Pockets, things like that. And the problem with that is this is one of the more lucrative tax strategies, but it's also the most litigated. There's over 500 tax court cases dedicated to the real estate professional status, because people continuously abuse it and get it wrong. So it's absolutely critical you do this right. And it's even more critical that this is done right, because back in the summer, what they did was they passed the Inflation Reduction Act, and with the IRS getting $80 billion in new funding, they're going to hire over 87,000 new agents, which is more than doubling their workforce. And their audits are expected to increase by 1.2 million and 710,000 of those new audits are going to be targeting the middle class, like small business owners, real estate investors. So, you know, and we went through this period over the last 10 years or so where the IRS was not well funded. They didn't have many agents and had historic low audit rates. So being that this is one of the more lucrative tax strategies, but also the most litigated, you want to make sure you're doing this right. And, you know, that's why we created this course, is so people can get, you know, the facts. We have all the citations from the IRS tax court, from the IRC tax court cases, all that stuff to back up and substantiate this position. And you just really want to make sure you're dotting all your I's, crossing all your T's when using this position. So that's the last thing I just wanted to say on the real estate professional status.
If they're doubling their size of employees, that everybody they hire is going to be highly qualified and completely understand the tax code and real estate professional status. So
it's always changing legislation, taxes. It's an ever evolving world. So, I mean, it's good to have this foundation, but also keep up on legislation. And I mean, that's super important. There's a lot of changes happening right now. Brandon, what were you going to mention?
I was just going to say a lot of tax advisors mess up real estate professional status because they just don't understand the ins and the outs, and they want to make clients happy, right? Like if a client comes and they, you know, push you hard enough, we see some tax advisors kind of saying, oh yeah, you can count, you know, education hours, time spent on webinars. You can count that for real estate professional status. Sure. And then they say it to one person, and they say it to 5 more people, and then 100 more people. And then soon enough, you've got this whole community saying, hey, this CPA allows you to count all your webinar time. And what you learn in our course is that it's not about what a CPA is going to allow you to count or not. It's about what has shown up in the tax court historically, what's in the Internal Revenue Code, and what's in the Treasury regulations. How is the IRS going to audit you, and what are they going to allow and not allow? And what you'll walk away from even after the first module is a really good understanding of what works and what doesn't work with real estate professional status, what hours count and what hours don't count, what myths — we bust myths in one of the sessions, myths that we've picked up from just listening to what other tax advisors tell folks. And then we give you citations showing that it's wrong. so you will walk out of there knowing how to have a much better conversation with your own tax advisors.
And protect yourself. I think that's so essential, because there is so much information, and RE Pro is one of those things that super exciting to learn about. But you know, can be detrimental if you do it wrong. So, all right, let me ask one more
question about this. Brandon, Thomas, if you do get audited, what is the cost of that to people in general? Like, how much are people actually spending to protect themselves when the audit comes down?
No, I honestly don't know the exact cost. I was hoping you did, but I was going to.
Well, Adam, do you mean cost of actually going through the audit? We're assuming that you're not paying penalties, right? We're talking about just to go through the audit.
Yeah, like getting your CPA to help you out through it. If you have to hire, you know, somebody else to represent you or something like that, y'all have like a rough number of how much it's going to cost you to do something like that.
So I believe that the average cost, I can't remember where I saw the statistic, is about $2,500. When you have real estate professional status and you call us up, it's going to be much more significant at that point to help. Like if there's anything to really help you on. But honestly, like a lot of we've had folks call us up after we did this whole real estate professional guide and all this stuff. And I'll jump on and look at their stuff and just say, yeah, there's nothing that I can do for you. you're dead in the water.
Thank you, mercy.
So the audit cost there, at least the fees you pay your tax advisors there, is nominal because you just automatically lose. But if you challenge and you go to tax court, I mean, they can get into the tens of thousands because you got to hire tax attorneys and it gets extremely costly. So getting it all right up front, getting the good documentation habits in place will definitely prevent that. And it'll make it a breeze. It really will make it a breeze.
Not one of those fun things any of us are looking to forward to is tax prep, but it's just one of those things we got to do. And that's why it's important to be educated and have the right people on your team to assist you with that. So let's move on to number two, which would be short-term loophole. So, I mean, what do you guys mean by loophole and what do we want to talk about with this?
Yeah. So, kind of long story short. So you use the real estate professional status. It's for long-term rentals, right? That's what the real estate professional status for. And also you generally have to work full-time in real estate in order to use the real estate professional status. And again, we break all that down in the course, but the short-term rental loophole is for short-term rental properties. So if you have a short-term rental, vacation rental, there's an exception to the definition of quote unquote rental activity under the tax code that basically makes short-term rental properties a business. And the bar for being materially participating in the business and making the losses non-passive are much lower than the real estate professional status because you do not have to work full time. You just have to meet one of seven tests. And again, you know, it's a lot more lax. Like if you do everything yourself, you can qualify as one way to do it. There's other ways, but basically it allows you to take those losses, same example I mentioned before, and just use those losses against your active income without having to work full time. And it's specifically for short-term rental properties.
Is that those losses, let's say you have long-term and short-term, are those just applying those? Can you do like accelerated depreciation just on the short-term, or does that open up the door to do your short-term and your long-term portfolio if you don't necessarily meet real estate pro status?
Right. It's a good question. So this is specifically on the short-term rentals. So if you don't have the real estate professional status, you're not going to be able to take the losses from your long-term rentals, but from the short terms, if you're using the short-term rental loophole, and we call it a loophole because it was designed for hotels. That's what it was designed for back in the 80s. You know, whoever wrote this legislation didn't probably foresee, in 2020, we're going to have, you know, Airbnb and VRBO and all these platforms where we're going to be listing residential houses out on, for rent on a short-term basis. So that's why it's a loophole. It wasn't really intended to be used that, you know, for residential houses, but it's legal nonetheless. So you might as well take advantage of it while you can. So that's kind of the short-term rentals. It's only for short-term rentals, won't impact your long-term rentals, but allows you to still accelerate your depreciation, take those losses. And, you know, we've helped, you know, I don't know, probably well over 500 clients use this strategy, and you know, people are saving five to six figures. Very, very powerful strategy right now.
Yeah.
Now, is this something that's audited? You know, I mean, I'm assuming that a lot of these auditors don't understand everything, but is this something that's audited on a similar basis to real estate professional status? I mean, it seems like it'd be pretty easy to defend, but is this something that's audited on a decent basis?
Yeah, that's another good question. So there's a lot less tax court cases around this because, you know, in terms of the tax landscape, right, this is relatively recent phenomenon. Like, you know, Airbnb only really came, you know, to prominence over the last 10 years or so. And it takes time for people to get audited and then go to tax court. And with audit rates being so low as they have been over the last 10 years, there just hasn't been much generated from this yet. There are a handful of cases, one very recent in 2020, which we do outline in the course, which is kind of like, in my opinion, a cornerstone case. It kind of covers everything that you kind of do wrong in the short-term rentals. So in terms of audit, hasn't been many historically that we're seeing or that has been coming up in tax court, but I would expect that to increase probably with these audits that are coming up. So it's just another strategy, highly lucrative, but you want to make sure you're dotting your T's, crossing your I's, or the other way around. You know what I'm saying?
Is this acceptable if you have a property manager to handle your short-term rentals, or do you have to be the manager?
No, you effectively have to self-manage in most cases.
Got it. Yeah. Okay.
And we go over all that in that second module. We talk exactly about what can and cannot happen with them.
Can you partner with your business partner as a property manager? I just say that because ours is our business partner. But
well, you can. We go over the material participation test. That's the key. Is
you have to have a test to run. I love that.
Yeah, perfect. That's good, because material participation, tell you what, you Google that online and good grief.
Right. Yeah. It's very overcomplicated. And there are definitely some complications related to it, but we really try to break it down for folks to understand at a foundational level.
What else do we want to cover on the short-term loophole? Is that a fair summary of it, or?
Yeah, it's a fair summary of it. Basically, long story short, if you have short-term rentals, it's a way to reduce your tax bill significantly, super powerful, and that's pretty much the bottom line of it.
No, I think some people don't maybe realize this when they're first getting started, but definitely as you become a more successful investor, and this is the case for us, I think a lot of our investing has actually, our strategy has revolved around the tax code. In tax benefits. I mean, that's really what's tailored the type of assets we're buying, when how we look at properties and cash flow on them. A lot of it is a tax play to this day. And I mean, it's in looking forward, you know, long term as well. So this is fundamental to understand this stuff. Module three here, optimize tax position. What the heck does that mean?
Brandon, you want to take that one? All right. So optimizing your tax position. So the real estate professional status, short-term rental, loophole, those are like bombs to your tax liability, right? They're like these massive hits that are just going to reduce your tax liability. The optimizing your tax position is more like the little incremental things you do that aren't as sexy, they aren't as major, but you do them consistently over time and you're going to be able to save thousands of dollars over the years. So one of them is going through, the bulk of the module is going through what's the difference between a repair and in a capital improvement, right? So a capital improvement, you generally have to capitalize and depreciate. And that means that you're taking a little bit of that that cost every year, a little bit of it on your P&L and reducing your tax just a little bit. But when you can expense an item, if it's a repair or maintenance, you're taking that entire cost in that year. And there's certain safe harbors, IRS safe harbors or, you know, that are in the Internal Revenue Code that allow you to expense certain items rather than capitalize them. And the bottom line is you want to expense as many items as you can. And there's an entire framework the IRS has, or the Congress released, called the Tangible Property Regulations, that outline what these differences are, what these safe harbors are, where the fine lines are. And we break all of that down so that basically you're putting yourself in the most favorable tax position possible when you are renovating your properties and repairing them, which is inevitable when you're dealing with a piece of physical tangible property, right? So the other part of that, something called the partial asset disposition, right? And this is something that is really underground. People really don't talk about it as much as they talk about the other strategies. The partial asset disposition allows you to do is fully expense the remaining value of certain items in the year that you replace them. So let me give you an example to kind of paint the picture. When you have a roof, if you have a residential property, the roof is part of the structural components and it's going to be depreciated over 27 and a half years for residential property. So that means every year you're taking a little bit and deducting it. Well, that your existing roof has a value on your depreciation schedule. So when you replace it, you're putting the new roof on your depreciation schedule, depreciating that over 27 and a half years. So now theoretically, if you didn't do anything, you'd be depreciating the old roof and the new roof. But what a partial asset disposition allows you to do is is basically deduct the cost, the remaining value of that old roof in that year. So basically you're taking, let's just say it was worth $10,000 left, right, of value that would be depreciated over 27 and a half years. Well, because you replaced it, you take the old roof, which is worth $10,000, now it's an expense, right? It's an expense on your P&L. And again, it's non-cash because you already paid for it. You already paid for it when you bought the asset. And it's just, you do, if you're able to execute and use partial asset dispositions, they can save you significant amounts of money over time. And it's just something that most people don't talk about, but we cover that, all the safe harbors, everything, betterment, restoration, adaptation tests, all that, the bar tests they're called, on really just how to make sure that you're expensing as much as your repairs and maintenance as you can and taking advantage of that.
That's huge. I think most people don't understand. I mean, what is an appropriate expense and how do I take that on a house, whether it's just a rental, especially in a rehab or when you're doing, you know, rehab to a property or improving the value. I mean, yeah, that gets complicated real quick. I mean, it's good to go through the module and educate yourself on that, but still, I mean, to this day, I'm still a little lost of like, you know, what do you do with this? How much of this is like, you taking notes and trying to categorize it and then turning it over to your CPA with, I mean, what's your recommendation? If we could just take a moment to step back and say, what's your recommendation for how to like keep track of these things to turn over to your CPA when it's tax time?
Yeah, so absolutely. So there's basically, it's all in the accounting. It's all in accounting and your bookkeeping system and keeping good records of your expenses. Because when you're doing, say, when you're getting a roof repaired or you're getting any type of renovation done, you're going to have a scope of work, from your contractors. You're going to have receipts or invoices, and really that's all going to get booked in your accounting system. And so your bookkeeper or your accountant is going to have to know what the difference between some of this stuff is. So you can train them on it. If you're working with a professional, they'll probably know. Hopefully they'll know. Basically, it's you being aware of why these items are important. Sometimes it's about the way a certain invoice is done, right? So for the de minimis safe harbor, for example, which is one of the safe harbors we discuss in the course, it's based on line item, right? So if you get an invoice and says kitchen rehab, $25,000, well, there's not much you could do with that. But if you are able to get your contractor to break down and itemize that invoice where you have stove, you have, you know, cabinets, you have so on and so forth, if they meet certain requirements, then you can go ahead and expense those in the year. And the only way to know that is by getting them itemized. So that's the type of stuff we break down, and then obviously categorizing them in your accounting system appropriately. So it's just being aware of the rules so that when you're working with contractors, when you're handing information to your CPAs, that you're handing them the right information so it can be categorized appropriately, because you don't want to be missing out on this stuff. It's kind of like, I don't want to say it's a low hanging fruit, because it's really not. It's more of some of the more advanced stuff, but it's easy stuff that you can do that if you do it consistently over time, you do it the right way, it's just going to add up over the years.
Love it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So when it comes to, I think, is there anything else y'all want to say on that? Or do you want to move on to number four?
Yeah, I think that about covers that one.
Yeah. So the next one is audit defense, and kind of some, you talked about some of the exit strategies that are going on there. I mean, it sounds like if you keep track of everything, that's your audit defense, right? You just throw it in there, or is there, maybe there's a little bit more to it. Kind of, can you talk a little bit about kind of how you set yourself up to be ready for an audit, and what is the audit rate in general that we've been seeing? And kind of, you mentioned that it's expected to go up. What number are they kind of expecting it to maybe go up to?
It's very low, right? Tom, do you know the number?
I don't know off the top of my head. I think it's something like less than 100,000 audits like going on or something like that. It's strikingly low. When I read the numbers, I was like, wow. I mean, I'm not surprised, but to see the number, but when you actually see it on paper, you're like, whoa, can't believe it's that low.
Yeah. So how you defend yourself? I mean, defense starts when you start investing. It doesn't start when you get audited. And I think that's the mistake that people make. And that's what we try to cover or highlight, at least in the course, is defense starts on day one. It's your accounting system. It's your receipt management system. It's how you're substantiating the various transactions that you're engaging in with the authority that you're basing those decisions on. So that's how you defend yourself, is you create great documentation systems. You work with advisors that will help you understand that from the get-go, how to defend yourself from an audit. We also believe that understanding how the IRS will audit you, is an important piece to learn as well, to help bolster your defense. So understanding what stones they're going to, overturn and look behind, is step one to understanding kind of where to really start documenting a little bit better. But it all does come back to that documentation.
Right, right. The art of war is know thy enemy, right? So you have to know what the IRS is going to come at you with so you could prepare for it in advance. That's pretty much one of the keys to audit defense, just being prepared for it when it comes. It's like you already won, right? You already won the battle because you've already prepared for it.
So a lot of times, you know, people go into these audits, I'm assuming, not very well prepared. Do y'all know kind of, I don't know if there are any statistics out there about how many people tend to lose their audit just because they don't know what the heck they're doing and they don't have any prep? I'm assuming it's probably a pretty high percentage.
There's no, I'm not aware of any statistics on that.
IRS doesn't there post may be their statistics win percentage. On that,
but yeah, I'm not aware. I mean, most of the time, you know, they're going to settle. It's either going to be IRS backs off, you settle, or you get a tax court. I will tell you, with the Section 469 audits that I've assisted with, most people just throw their hands up and basically give in to whatever the IRS is saying, because they're not, I mean, these are real estate professional status audits. And once you start digging into it, you realize you're not even close to being a real estate professional and you're going to lose this no matter what. So you might as well just start playing nice. And I'm sure there's a tax attorney out there that disagrees, but, you know, it's just, you're booking education research hours as your real estate professional status time. You're not going to win that. So yeah, I don't know any statistics off the top of my head. I'm not aware of their. Yeah,
they don't unfortunately release statistics on it. They like to be an enigma. They want to be mysterious. So they catch you.
Slipping. Well, you don't want to be one of those people, Adam, that lose. We'll just say that. So, and the best defense is a good offense, I guess we can say. So, awesome. Audit defense is huge, and it's all about preparation and really more so than that, just like education, right? I think it starts there with, if you don't know what you're doing, you're not doing it appropriately, then you're bound to make mistakes. So that's why these things are fundamentally important. I think the last module is kind of a conglomerate bonus module with a lot of different stuff in here. I'll let you speak about it a little bit more, Brandon and Thomas, but I know that you cover Cossack study and you talk about setting up businesses, real estate specific businesses, doing, you know, possibly having children on payroll and how to do that appropriately. LLC structuring, possibly, you know, S corp versus LLC, you know, when you want to do that type of stuff. I mean, what else are you kind of covering in here?
Yeah, I would say the purpose of that last module was just to kind of cover all the general things that people have asked us over the years, because we want people walking away from this with saying, man, I got a lot of value out of it. And we've experienced in the past that people will say, well, I can't be a real estate professional and I don't want to buy a short-term rental, so real estate's not beneficial for me. And those last two modules kind of show you, no, real estate's really beneficial for you. Here's why. So we kind of hit all the different things that you could potentially do, but it's definitely not as in depth as our dive into the real estate professional status. So we do spend a lot of time there, but I don't know, Tom, do you want to jump in and kind of explain a little bit about that last module?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So we have an interview with an attorney on entity structure and how to set up efficient entity structure. So there's a lot of attorneys out there. I'm not knocking any attorneys or anything like that, that just, you know, kind of oversell what people really need. When it comes down to, you have these big complex entity structures, which are sometimes necessary, but not always. And you have people who will jump into it, buy a $10,000, you know, complete, you know, LLC structure, and they haven't even bought a rental property yet, right? So that module kind of breaks down what's really needed, like when you're first getting started, and also, you know, kind of a little bit more than just that. But then we have an interview with a cost segregation company that kind of goes through cost segregations, how that works. We also then talk about how to pay your children in there. I just took another look at the bonuses. We also have investing through retirement accounts in there. So if you invest through self-directed IRAs, things like that, we have a module on that. We also have another module on scrubbing your depreciation schedule. So before I talked about optimizing your tax position, the kind of scrubbing your depreciation schedule is kind of a way to go back and kind of see basically what you can do in the past. Is there anything on your depreciation schedule that you could do now to basically save more money? So just a little bonus in there, and kind of just in a nutshell, it's just like Brent said, all the little odds and ends and stuff that people have asked about. Also, in the audit defense section, we also have the exit strategies, which I don't think we highlighted, things like 1031 exchanges and some of the other exit strategies. Because, you know, when you sell real estate, that's probably when you have your biggest taxable event, right? You have, hopefully, right, you generate a big capital gain, and just another reason why real estate is one of the best asset classes out there is because you can exit real estate tax efficiently with a 1031 exchange, or use a cost segregation study to offset the capital gains all these other little things. So that's all included in there. That's that's a lot. I mean, that's what's in there.
That's a tremendous amount of information, and that alone, the value, I mean, again, it's just going to allow you to be a more savvy investor and ultimately prepared, you know, save taxes probably year one. I don't know if you guys have any stats internally of like what your average client that, you know, you're working with, and that would be hard to, I guess, come up with from a educational course. But I mean, definitely this is an essential thing, right? To save taxes immediately, even if you have one rental. I mean, there's a lot of things that even just one rental property that you can, you know, apply to. And that also allows you to start learning from the very beginning on how to potentially change your strategy or apply the appropriate tax code moving forward as you grow your portfolio. Everyone is in this game to, you know, grow a portfolio. No one stops at one rental property, but it's super essential to understand the tax side from the first rental as you become a more successful investor. And we love real estate because it's a great way to build, you know, the tremendous amount of wealth. A lot of that is protecting. It's not about how much you make, right? We all know it's how much you keep. Real estate is a great way to keep a majority of your profits and then create generational wealth that you can plan on passing to your family. And that's something you got to start prepping now. I mean, you do not want to, because if you spend, and we've talked with people in this position, but if you spend your whole life working your ass off to build a tremendous amount of, you know, net worth in real estate, but you haven't done it appropriately where you can pass that on potentially tax-free to the right people that you want to, your beneficiaries, I mean, that's, you're working backwards. I mean, it's really unfortunate. So the preparation starts now. But gentlemen, this has been a tremendous amount of value to our community. We appreciate you being responsive to our feedback to put together something specifically for our community that can be of value. I guess just in Adam will let us know how to like learn about this course. And I believe we're probably, I don't know, a few weeks out. We'll send out more information on this course and how to join the community of rent retirement investors to sign up for this course. But I just out of curiosity, outside of this course, I mean, I always want to ask, is there any sort of legislation changes or things that, you know, we should be aware of as real estate investors that are happening now or for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, back in the summer, they actually released the Inflation Adjustment Act, or the Inflation Reduction Act, I think it was called. And what they did was, is you know, they talked a lot about knocking into the carried interest, which is big for people doing syndicates and funds, but they didn't touch it. Right. They always talk about getting rid of the 1031 exchange, but they didn't touch that either. So really, for real estate investors, I mean, right now, there's not much on the horizon coming up. But the audit thing is probably the biggest thing that came out of that people have to worry about, is just that it's not going to be what it appears, at least at this point, is it's not going to be this free for all, like, you know, kind of fun and games type of thing you've seen over the last 10 years or so. Just if you look at the audit rates compared to what they were to what they're going to be now, I mean, they're going to be doing 710,000 new audits on small, for basically targeting, like I said before, the middle class and small business owners, right? So that's substantial. I mean, no matter how you look at that, and there's going to be 1.2 million new audits total. And I'm sure that's going towards corporate America and, you know, wealthy individuals, but that's the biggest thing you want to watch out for. You want to make sure you have your ducks in a row.
That just makes this so much more important and relevant than learning about this stuff now in preparation.
Yeah, especially since real estate professional status is a highly litigated area of the Internal Revenue Code. You know, if you ever, you know, if you are working with a tax advisor who's just kind of maybe agreeing with everything that you're saying, if they're not really pulling citations to substantiate the positions that you're taking, you definitely need to get educated on it, and you need to think about how you are claiming real estate professional status, short-term rentals, anything like that, paying your children, same thing. In anything that you are doing that's not a straight-laced, you know, I've got income and I've got actual expenses, you've got to make sure that you've got good documentation in place.
I love it. And that's so fundamentally important. And as we've received that feedback that while all this stuff is good to talk about and raise awareness about, people have to spend some time and learn it. And so, again, we appreciate you spending a lot of time to prepare the course. And, you know, you'll obviously be there with live Q&As throughout that course. So we'll be sending out information to sign up for that within the community. We'll have a limitation to how many people can attend. So just kind of first come, first serve sort of situation. Adam, how can they find out about the course and sign up for it?
Yeah, they can just head on over to renttoretirement.com/hallcpa. and that will take you to the page that you need to register for the event. That's renttoretirement.com/hallcpa, all one word. You can see it in the show notes as well. So make sure if you didn't write that down fast enough, just go in there and click on the link and it'll take you right there. So Brandon, Tom, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate your time. Look forward to seeing this course and, you know, seeing all the questions people have to ask, because, you know, there's one or two questions out there about taxes, I think. And so we'll get them all answered as best we can. So again, head on over to renttoretirement.com/hallcpa. And we will help you get going on your tax strategy. Don't forget to leave us a review on whatever platform you're watching this on or listening to it on. And if you have any questions, you can email us at podcast@renttoretirement.com and we will get them answered for you as soon as possible. So thanks for joining us today, and we'll talk to you on the next episode.